Let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and turn with me once again to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter number 32. I thank the Lord tonight for His Word, don't you? You know, as you sang, Brother Jack, I thought about this truth. It's a scriptural truth. We do need to thank Him for loving us, because there's not a one of us would love Him had He not first loved us. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. And I knew me. I was reminded last week of a line in a song, and I sure wasn't the easiest thing in the world to love when the Lord saved me. Amen. But He did. And He knew me, yet He loved me. And I tell you, that's a blessing tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's stand in reverence to the Word of God tonight. And I'll read just a little bit of Scripture here. Tonight, I want to begin in verse number 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. When I read that last week, I understand it. I mean, I underscored it in the Word of God. You say, why? Remember what I read a while ago in the song? There'll be a time when he can't be found.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? What was it in Isaiah 55? Let me read it. I can't recall it right quick. Isaiah 55. Turn there with me just a moment. I think this is important. Oh, I got it now. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord. But listen, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. I'm telling you, there can be a time when he can't be found. I had a lady, I'm trying to remember. Oh, I know where I was at. I was at the funeral yesterday, and one of my precious loved ones, one of my cousins, she said, I found God. I said, I'm going to tell you what I told that prisoner told me that. She said, what's that? I said, I didn't know he's lost. Honey, we didn't find God. He found us. Amen. We was the ones lost. And she said, you're right. But I know what people mean when they say that. The Bible said there, when thou mayest be found, surely in floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. There's that pause again. Stop and reflect. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. I love this word in the Bible. It's a very important word. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You can be seated. Pray with us a moment. Father, thank you tonight for these that have come. I pray, God, you'll put the food on the table for your precious children. I pray we've come with an appetite tonight for the things of God. I pray, Lord, tonight when we leave the service, we'll be a little closer to you, a little more like you than, Lord, we are right now. Lord, I thank you tonight for saving me. Thank you for trusting me, Lord, with the gospel. Thank you for giving me a wonderful, wonderful church to pastor. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my babies. my grandbabies, my precious wife. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray you'll minister to each heart and life tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. You already have. That's good. All right. Blessed. That's what we're talking about. This morning we launched into the thought in Psalm chapter 32. It is a maskel. And that word we settled this morning means instruction. And I believe with all my heart that there's probably not a man in the building that has not at some point in time had this experience. You got a woman sitting over there or standing over there, and you got a box with a bunch of parts in it, and you get it out and you start putting it together. And that woman, I'm not going to say she was precious at that time, but she says something to you like this: aren't you going to read the instructions? And we just kind of, what are you laughing at, Sister Carol's weighing that way too? Amen. Did you know that you can light right into it? We're Tim the Tool Man, ain't we? We got our electric drill out, amen. We got our screwdrivers and our wrenches, and here we go. And then we find out, what's this? And we find out you've got to take it either half apart or all apart to put that where it belongs. And that same woman, I'm not going to call her precious at that time, but she says, I told you. Amen. I wonder sometimes if we don't approach God's book the same way. Lord, I know how to live. I've got this, and I know what to do and what not to do. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how old we are, how far down the road we are, we need this instruction manual. We need God's Word in our lives. Amen. I want to back up just a little bit this morning on that guile, that word that means deceit. I looked up a few verses of Scripture. We're talking about forgiveness this morning. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit is no guile. In Matthew 24:4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So even before he died and was buried, he was already warning his disciples that there'll be people come along that'll try to deceive you. You say, now, Pastor, how are we going to know whether you or anybody else would be trying to deceive us? There's only one way. That's know the book. If a person's leading you outside the book, amen, then you can say that person is trying to deceive you. And Jesus is warning them. He said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Let me ask you this tonight. Would you believe the pastor's making an accurate statement if I said this? I believe the devil's got as many preachers and pulpits in America as God does. Did you hear what I said? I'll repeat it. I believe the devil's got as many preachers and pulpits in America as God does. You say, Pastor, why would you say such a thing as that? Man, there's preachers that can preach you a sermon without a Bible. They never even read a verse out of the Scripture. Amen. There's preachers that are preaching things that are contrary to the Bible. God didn't send that preacher. Amen. The Spirit of God's not filling that preacher. And I'm going to tell you, if that preacher wears a skirt, I know God didn't send her. Say amen. If that preacher's married to another man, I know God didn't send him. God, the Lord Jesus, is warning us even before he dies that there'd be deceivers that would come along. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:18, Paul told the church of Corinth, let no man deceive himself. So now we see, beloved, listen, this guile can come from without, and it can also come from within. And really, no one deceived David. I'll show you what I mean by that. I meant to touch on this later in the message, but when David looked at Bathsheba bathing, and David, of course, lusted, and David, of course, went a step further, and he sent for her. Do you know what the servant of David said? I believe that servant in that text is a type of the Holy Ghost. He said this, is that not Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? I'm reminded, I was thinking about this afternoon. How many's ever watched the program Lost in Space? There's a few, amen. Old heads in this building, amen. How many remembers the robot? Danger, danger, danger. Well, we don't have a robot, but we got the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost will warn His people when they're about to do something that's going to cost them in their life. He'll warn us of the danger. And so that servant warned David, let no man deceive himself. He deceived himself into thinking, I can do this and I can get by with this. No one will ever be the wiser. He said, if any of men among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Ephesians 4:14 said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie, in wait to deceive. Beloved, they're everywhere, just lying in wait. You turn that television on and you turn it over there to a quote-unquote religious channel. And they'll say, if you'll send me a $20 seed. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. I don't even watch the mess. Amen. I'm like Brother Jack, just enough to know what the enemy's doing. Amen. But I'm telling you, you'll send your $100 seed and somebody out there's got a headache. Well, hello. Watching them, it just got worse. I just want you to understand, beloved, that everybody that puts a Bible under their arm is not a Christian. And everybody that's on that television, you say, Pastor, why do you know? How could you know? Because that prosperity gospel is a lie out of hell. Some of the most precious saints of God I've ever known in my life suffered tremendously. I think Sister Gwen of your sister, I can't help but think of her. I've known her for years and years and years, crippled in a wheelchair. I've never heard her complain. Always looking for something to do to honor the Lord. I believe I'll be so far behind her at the judgment seat, it won't even be funny. Amen. What a blessing she was. And yet these guys will get on TV and say, well, if you love God, you're going to live in the finest house, drive the finest car. Your bills are going to be paid and you're never going to be sick. You're never going to suffer. That's a lie, folks. That's what Jesus warning about. In whose spirit there is no guile. If we say that we have no sin, we touched on this morning, we deceive ourselves. And then the Bible said in Revelation 20:3, we know who the author of that deception is. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be finished or fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season. You know what he's going to do when he's loosed? He's going to deceive again. He goes throughout. And the Bible said in verse 8 of chapter 20, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. After the millennium, the deceiver is going to go throughout the world again and gather an army one last time to come up against Christ. He never gives up. But I tell you, after that, beloved, he's done. He's fried forever. Say amen. God's going to put him where he belongs. But until then, God wants to give us a warning. Beloved, listen, in this instruction, don't deceive yourself and don't let anybody else deceive you. Amen. I believe in the tribulation hour, the deception is going to be very strong. Turn with me to Thessalonians. I didn't mean to read it, but I'm going to. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. The Bible said, I didn't even know that word was there. I'm honest before God. The Spirit of God just led me to read this text. In verse number 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, and the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Paul said that, beloved, in the first century. He said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And when and then shall that wicked be revealed? I personally believe in verse number 7, when the church goes home, amen, that wicked's going to be revealed. Actually, it doesn't take place in the beginning of the tribulation. It takes place in the middle of the tribulation. That's when Israel's going to realize what the abomination of desolation is and realize we've swallowed a lie. We've been deceived. And we swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. Notice what the Bible said. That wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all, here's our word again, deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Look at verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Let me just say this tonight. I didn't mean to get into this, but God wants us to be right here for just a minute. In the tribulation hour, there's going to be a multitude of people saved. The Bible said out of every nation, people, and tongue. I've heard people say, well, there's just going to be 144,000 Jews. That's just one nation. The Bible said out of every nation, people, and tongue, there's going to be a multitude that trusts Christ. Let me tell you what about that multitude. Something about that multitude. They are not Christ rejectors on this side of the rapture. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? The Bible said here, for this cause shall God send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth. Beloved, they heard the truth, but they wouldn't believe the truth. And not only would they not believe the truth, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Some of these guys that's asking for that $100 seed, that $1,000 seed, you know what they're wanting? Another airplane. Or another big old mansion to live in. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a reckoning day for that mess. Amen. I'm not saying that there's not a God, fearing God's word preaching man on the TV, but I tell you this, I ain't found many. Amen. I'll just go ahead and throw this out there. It'd be a free plug. If I ever meet Brother Charles Lawson, I'll charge him. But I like to watch him once in a while. Amen. He'll give you the word of God. Amen. He don't care if you like it or not. He'll just lay it out there. Amen. I like men like that. Amen. Brother John, Brother Billy Mitchell wasn't welcome everywhere. There are places that didn't want a man like that because he preached the word. Amen. I think it ought to be an honor for a man of God not to be welcome everywhere. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Tonight, David said there in that text, whose spirit there is no guile. I believe there is a deceit that's very real in the world that we live in. Let me get into this tonight. I'm not even sure I'm going to get done tonight. Blessed. The first thing in the message was the word forgiven. The second thing I want to give you in the message tonight is the word Father. I've said this for years. I was blessed to have two wonderful fathers. An earthly father that I miss dearly. I'd say this to the young people tonight. Love your daddy while he's living. Love your mama while she's living. You can't love on them too much. Amen. There'll come a day you're going to miss them. That day's already come for some. I missed that phone call on Sunday afternoon. Son, what'd you preach on this morning? I'd tell him in about 2 or 3 minutes. Dad'd say, boy, I like that, son. Son, I'm praying for you. Son, I got anything you need? I'd get off the phone, that woman over there, and say, how come it took you an hour to say that this morning? Boy, everybody needs a woman like that, don't they? Amen. I told her, Daddy only got the Reader's Digest condensed version. Amen. If that's what y'all want, you can have it. Amen. Oh, I see heads shaking. No. There's some out there you'd like to shake it, yes, but you're too afraid you'll get gouged in the rib. Amen. Ain't God good? Father. What do you see? How did you come up with Father, Pastor, in the text on being blessed? Number one, there's a Father to chastise us. Brother Gary, when I was growing up, my daddy only whooped me 4 times. I heard Brother Danny Sykes say years ago, and I've never forgot it. He said the difference between a whipping and a whooping. He said a whipping's 2 or 3 good licks, and a whooping's 2 or 3 licks out of eternity. Well, my daddy whooped you. You didn't forget it. He only whooped me 4 times. Had done the job. And I thought to myself, what is going on here? But I tell you, you don't know how I thank God tonight. I had a daddy that loved me enough to correct me. And I don't just have an earthly daddy that loved me enough to correct me. How many glad you got a father? When you get sideways with him, something going on in your life that had no... Oh, he'll come along. Listen, I like to some of our people in the play, Brother Rick, have them big shepherd's crooks. I think I've seen you with them maybe at some time or another. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that sheep gets out of the path. God's got a way to reach down there and hook them. Amen. Bring them back up in the path. I think I've studied in years gone by where the shepherd sometimes would even break her leg and then set it and then carry it. Amen. When that sheep got better, it wanted to stay close to that shepherd. Aren't you glad tonight we have a father? Amen. You say, Pastor, where'd you see that in the text? The Bible said in verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I'm telling you, beloved, chastisement is not a pleasant thing. But I tell you, if you understood this Bible, you'd jump straight up and down and shout, glory to God, I got a father that loves me enough to correct me, chastise me when I need to be chastised. Watch this. Turn with me to Hebrews, please. Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 12. I thought I had it in my notes. That's okay. There was a time when I didn't even have to have a note on something like that, but that time has slipped on by. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read you a text tonight. I want to ask a question. It's a personal question. How many's ever experienced the chastening rod of God in your life? Is there anybody that God's ever had to straighten you out? Amen. I want you to listen to this tonight. The Bible said in verse 3 of chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Brother Mays Jackson, I've heard him preach, he'd say something like this. His daddy would whoop him and he'd say, son, this is hurting me worse than it is you. How many's ever heard Brother Mays say that? And he said, I'd think, my Lord, somebody's got their signals mixed up. Amen. Daddy was giving him a good one. Amen. But watch this. He said, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In verse 5, he said, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. A father will speak to his children. By the way, I'm going to say this. I don't believe a father that's worth his salt would just jerk his children up and spank them the first time around. Say amen. Go speak to them. They're going to be a warning. And I believe that's what was happening in David's life when that servant said, is not this Bathsheba the wife of Uriah the Hittite? God was speaking through that man and said, hey, stop! This ain't right. And he carried on. Now what happens? Y'all know the rest of the story. About a year or 13 months later, Nathan comes to David. But I want to give you this. There was a price to pay. The baby lost its life. Not only that, God turned around and looked at David, and Nathan told David, said, the sword will never leave your house. You think about that for just a moment. You think about the heartache that David endured. Though he got right with God, though he was washed thoroughly from his iniquity, you think about the heartache that he suffered as a result of that decision. Go on with me, please, in the text. The Bible said, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth. Boy, wouldn't that be good if we just realized when the Lord's given us a good one, he loves me. He's my father. I can't do like I used to do because I don't belong to the devil anymore. Amen. I got a new daddy. Somebody that loves me and cares for me. The Bible said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. That's when it gets into that belt territory, ain't it? Whom he loveth, whom he receiveth. And then the Bible said, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Daddy had three boys. There ain't no way in the world that my daddy would ever correct somebody else's son. But them three boys, he had three girls too. He corrected us. I've seen him take my first cousin and say, you sit down right there, pick up the phone and say, come and get him. Amen. A lot of the trouble we got into, our first cousin, I'm not blaming it on him, but he led us into it. I remember one time Daddy said, boys, we got this big old farm, probably 300 acres. He said, do anything you want to do, go anywhere you want to go, but he said, just don't go the road. Does anybody want to guess where we went? We made a beeline for the road. Now, we was way out in the sticks in Bel Air, Maryland, Wheel Road. It's all grown up now into shopping centers and townhouses and all that. But I'm telling you, there probably was no more than 8 to 10 cars a day that come down our road. There wasn't much past that driveway that went back there to the farm. So we walked down that gravel driveway. We got down there. And guess what? I listened to the deceiver. He said, boys, here comes a car. He said, let's skip a rock under it. And that works pretty good for everybody but me. I hit the edge of the pavement. It was a gravel driveway. It hit the edge of the pavement, and it went right up and busted the window out of that man's vehicle. All Daddy said was, boys, you can do whatever you want to do. Just don't go to the road. And I'm telling you, beloved, that car's a-locking up, and there's four boys, me and my two brothers and my first cousin. Honey, we was disappearing in the woods. And we disappeared. And we hung out over in the woods, and we watched. This man pulled up in front of Daddy, in front of our house. Had Daddy out in the front yard. I watched my dad, Brother Gary, take out his billfold. He had $5. That's all he had. And he gave it to that man. He said, sir, this is all I got. He said, all I want to know is You'll take care of them boys. Daddy said, I promise you, I'll take care of them. We didn't hear all that conversation. We learned about it later, amen. We was too far away. We was hiding out in the woods. But I tell you what, we got there, and my daddy said, boys, which one have you done it? Not a word. Ain't that good, especially for the one that done it. And my daddy set my cousin apart. He wasn't going to deal with him. He was just getting his daddy getting a phone call to come and get him. Daddy said, all right, I'll just start with the youngest and go to the oldest. And my daddy took his belt, and he reared back like that to hit my little brother Johnny. And I said, Daddy, it was me. He wore me out. He wore me out. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't tell that story. Well, I can tell you tonight, I'm glad I had a daddy. I went directly against the only thing that he told. It sounds like the Garden of Eden, don't it? One thing. Go anywhere you want, but one thing, don't go to the road. And I don't believe Daddy was thinking about skipping rocks under cars when he told us not to go. He's afraid we'd get run over. But I'm telling you tonight, I have a Heavenly Father that's more precious to me than even my earthly father, because he has set some boundaries and some guidelines in this book. And when we get outside of them, he loves us enough to chasten us. Look what the Bible said here. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's not a cuss word right there. What he's saying is, if you can get around and you can do whatever you want to do and you never experience the chastening of God, you might say you're a child of God, but you're illegitimate. You don't belong to him. That's what he's saying. And by the way, beloved, we get accused when we believe that we're saved forever, like we believe. We get accused of saying, well, y'all believe you can just get saved, live however you want to. Not with my Father, you can't. Say amen. You can try it if you want to, but I wouldn't encourage it. Furthermore, he said, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. I didn't know that it was enjoying it. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of what? His holiness. Now no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous. What's the next word? But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I'll tell you this little story, and I'm going to quit tonight. I ain't going to get done. My goodness, there's just too much to do in the psalm. A maskil. A psalm of instruction. I'm glad I've been forgiven. I'm glad I have a father that loves me. If my dad was standing here tonight, I tell you what he would tell you. I made a lot of mistakes trying to raise my children. Have any of you made mistakes trying to raise your children? I have. Some of you may have heard this story years ago. I told it, I believe, but I'll tell it again for those of you that don't. It's hilarious. Charity and Elizabeth had a friend apiece spend the night with them. Miss Eve, Mama, had bought their mommy, had bought three or four cans of whipped cream. And they were supposed to go out the next day in the backyard and squirt that whipped cream all over each other, you know what I mean, and take a water hose to each other. It was summertime, just have a ball. Well, Miss Eve and I went to bed. You know how kids are. How old were you, Charity? 10, 9, 10, something like that. Anyway, it was all Charity's fault. But She got by, but anyway, it had to be her fault. I know her. But anyway, we go to bed, and Charity says something about the whipped cream, and Elizabeth says, "Mom told me she changed her mind. We can play with that tonight in the house." And everything would have been fine. Charity gets up the next morning thinking Mom changed her mind, and she tells Mom, "We had a ball with that whipped cream last night." Uh-huh. How many knows your sin will find you out? Somebody say amen. So, I learned a few things parenting. I said to Elizabeth, my baby girl, I said, "We'll deal with this when your friends go home." So Brother Rick, she had all day to think about what was coming. We go in her bedroom, and I said, "Elizabeth, do you know what you've done?" She said, "Daddy, I've lied." I said, "Honey, you didn't just lie." I said, "You lied on your mama." I said, "I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get down here at this chair." And I said, "First of all," I said, "you've been taught better." I said, "You're going to talk to the Lord about what you've done." We got down there at the chair, and I said, "Go ahead." She said, "Out loud, Daddy?" I said, "Sure, honey, you lied out loud. Just go ahead and talk to the Lord out loud." Here she goes. "Lord, I'm sorry. My mom and daddy taught me better. I'm sorry I lied, Lord." And she said, "Lord, whatever daddy decides to do, would you help me to accept it?" I'm telling you, I'm holding it back. I'm about to die. Amen. I told my little girl, I think she was 8 or 9 at the time. We got done there, and I hugged her. I said, "Elizabeth, I believe you've learned your lesson." Oh, she had blessed assurance. "I have, Daddy, I have." I said, "I believe you have." I said, "You need to go apologize to your mama now." And I said, "Honey, I'm going to tell you something." She said, "What's that, Daddy?" I said, "Just in case you ain't learned your lesson, you decide to lie like that again." I said, "Honey, I ain't going to whoop you." She said, "You ain't, Daddy?" I said, "No, I'm going to wear you out." I said, "This is your grace period right here." I said, "I think you've learned your lesson." I said, "You need to think long and hard before you lie like that again." I'm sure she told a lie somewhere along the way, but I never did find out about it. Amen. Ain't you glad we have a Father tonight that loves us, that won't let us get too far out of the path? He'll say, "Come back here. You don't belong to the devil anymore. You don't belong to yourself. You're not your own. You belong to me." Thank God for a Father that loves us like that. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Thank you for coming.